right here, right now. And let me, first of all, thanks Joseph Lovell, your host of Saturday's edition of Today's Praise. Let me say good morning and say thank you to my guest here on the program. One of these individuals is a brand new member of our Community Focus family. She is a relationship coach. Her name is Lily Nye Cashin. Lily, good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, we're going to make it a brighter day on the radio, especially with our topic of discussion this morning. And some of the biggest mistakes that couples make when experiencing financial stress. That's what we're going to focus and talk about this morning. And Lily, we are being joined by a regular member of our QF family, Algernon Cash, the managing director of Wharton Gladden and Company LLC. Algernon, good to have you aboard.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. Doing good. And so happy that we are back at it here on Community Focus. We're going to get this show underway right now at 336-680-9710. That's the number to call, folks, if you have any questions or comments for today's subject matter. Algernon, I think it's only fitting that we kind of get our QMG family a little familiar with Lily.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think she'll mind if I give a little background. Is that okay with you, Lily?
Sure.
That'll be fine. Okay. Your life mission is helping people grow. Your passion is to help others reach their potential, which has helped people for decades reach their personal, relational, and spiritual life goals. And your relational style of connecting with your clients makes coaching and communicating growth principles the core of your gift, shall we say, in your field. Now, you're the founder and president of Integrated Relationships. Yours is a relationship as an executive coach. You're a group facilitator. You're a speaker. You address issues related to personal, relational, and spiritual growth. You've been doing this for quite a while, haven't you?
I've been doing it for a number of years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What made you decide that this was what you wanted to do based on your personal experience?
Sure. Well, the first couple of decades out of college, mm-hmm. I worked full-time helping people grow. I worked for a ministry actually called Campus Crusade for Christ. So I was all over the world.
Wow.
And so I've always had really a passion for people,
mm-hmm.
and helping them grow. So no matter what it was that I was doing on staff, whether it was doing public relations for
right.
Athletes in Action, or I actually worked with a psychologist, Dr. Henry Cloud, who wrote the whole Boundary series. He's written probably 20 books on helping people grow. And that's really where it formulated, and I said, this is what I want to do.
That you wanted to do. Now, where are you from originally?
Well, I was actually born in South Dakota. My dad worked for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then I grew up in Mississippi mostly.
Okay. Wow. And how long have you been here in North Carolina?
5 years.
Five years now.
Married to my husband.
Oh, wonderful. Who, by the way, we'll give him props and acknowledge him. He's with us here in the studio.
I think he's doing a little videotaping. Yeah, he's going to have this on YouTube.
I was going to say he's going to make the stars before it's all over. But again, we want to address relationships, basically, Lily, in a down economy. This is a tough time for everybody, but this really can have quite an impact on couples and individuals who are involved in relationships. And whether it's a husband and wife or a girlfriend and boyfriend or a significant other, when you combine the finances, if you will, and then given what the economy can be, it can be a stressful time for people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the biggest mistakes that couples make is they try to do it alone.
Yeah.
And when you get isolated like that and you have that much of a burden on you, I think that that's where things can kind of start to, you know, spiral downward. And so really one of the biggest mistakes is don't do it alone. There are a lot of resources, and specifically people, to help you in this, because a lot of what couples are dealing with is the emotional side of it. So right. Getting emotional support is a huge, huge part of what we'll talk about today.
Do you find when you talk with couples that it's just a little bit overwhelming, perhaps, because this may be a situation that they may have been put into for the very first time? Or
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you think about this, the people right now, you know, growing up, they have never really faced. I mean, none of us have faced what we've been going through. I mean, they're comparing it to the Great Depression. And, you know, most of us alive today that are dealing with, you know, the people that are looking at potential foreclosures or whatever on their home and mm-hmm. losing their car and losing everything, they've never faced this.
Right.
You know, we kind of grew up in the 80s where people kind of had it all, you know, more mm-hmm. on top of it. So, yeah.
Well, what are the most helpful things that couples can do, kind of twofold, strengthen their relationship during these tough times? What are some of the keys that, as far as advice that you would give to
sure,
those persons?
Sure, there's a couple of things. The first one is really validation, because mm-hmm. people, Like I said, the weight of what they're carrying is so much emotional. I mean, I know Aljon can speak to kind of the financial side of it, but the right. emotional side of it is really huge. And so if you're in a relationship and, say, your spouse says, I'm just really scared. I'm scared we're going to lose our house. The worst thing you could do is invalidate them. No, we're not going to lose it, because then the person ends up having two problems. They have the problem of the fear that they were dealing with when they first said it. And now they feel alone in it because they've been totally invalidated, because what you're saying to them is, no, don't be afraid.
Right.
And then the person feels this amazing amount of judgment that, oh, I'm wrong for feeling fear. So just, you know, if you have your, if your spouse or your significant other says that, just say, so honey, what I hear you saying is you're really afraid. You're really right. afraid we're going to lose the house. Even though in your mind, you may know we are not going to lose the house, you know, don't invalidate them. Say, because their fear is real, and that's what needs to be validated.
And that's what I would think of sometimes, too. You may have, in terms of couples, you have two different individuals who may be approaching it two different ways. Like you said, you have one person who's very fearful of the situation. Then you may have the flip side of that. The other person's like, oh, don't worry. This is just temporary. We'll get through it.
Yeah, and that can become a problem, because you really, at that point, it's so incredibly important that you hear one another. And right. that's when validation really comes into it, is really, you know, love says, okay, let me set aside what I think and what I feel, and let me focus on the person that I'm dealing with. And that's right. going to help them feel love, to say, okay, I know that I'm not feeling fear, but you're feeling fear, and that's important to me. And then if the other person is like, oh, let's just don't, you know, I'm not worried about it. You know, it's just to say, okay, I hear you, that you're not worried about it. You may know something that I don't know. Maybe right. you understand the economy better than I do. Maybe you understand our finances better than I do. But still, you know, this is worrisome to me. And so just really connecting on the relational side, you know, it really just helps the person feel love.
But you know, quite often that happens a lot, where, you know, one person probably does really understand the finances
right.
much
yeah,
more
better
than the other person.
So, I mean,
you do have this ability to have one person maybe feel more secure than the other person. But, you know, in my practice, what I tell a lot of people, you know, when we're sending them through the Keys to Money Mastery course, it becomes important that you're doing that together as
exactly.
a couple, you know, as a husband and wife, versus a lot of times you may see just the wife wants to do it, or just
right.
the husband wants to do it
or
just one wants to manage the money and the right. other one doesn't want to, you know, they want to abdicate the responsibility. But you know, just like you have date night, you should have budget night. And
I like
you,
that.
You should get together and
right.
take a look at the budget together, and you should make sure that you both understand the,
right.
the balance sheet. And that you know how to manage the money together.
I think that's so key, because sometimes, and this is what I've been hearing, especially from friends that I have, and this isn't necessarily them, I'm just saying hypothetically speaking, you do come across a person, and sometimes, you know, we kind of hide things from one another. That may not always be the safest thing or the best bet in terms of the financial side, you know, because we always want to have that little nest egg that we kind of put to the side for ourselves,
yeah,
just
yeah.
in case the relationship may not last,
may not
or
work out,
right, or it comes to an end, or things of that nature. Is that not necessarily the best way to approach it?
I don't know what Lily may have a different take on it.
Right.
I think it's perfectly okay. you know, I mean, to have a little
good, we have a rebuttal.
A little reserve over to the side for yourself, but.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, clearly, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, when you look at the finances, or if you look at the expenses, the bills, whatever it may be, it's just important that both of you really understand how to manage
right.
that, and you really understand, you know, what kind of a debt situation are you in, and what is it really going to take to work yourself out of it.
Right. What's your take on that, Lily?
Yeah, I would probably. I mean, I think if you're not in a marriage, if you are just saying a long-term relationship, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, obviously you're two separate people at that point, so having something on the side, I don't think is a bad thing. But I really do think in any relationship that you want to be upfront, because without honesty, you really have no basis for trust.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if you're talking about a marriage, I definitely think you want everything out on the table. You don't want any surprises. And I'm in total agreement, you know, along with the validation, the other two things that I recommend to couples to do is make sure you have relationship and support. So if you're already finding that you're having troubles talking about finances,
right.
you know, is to get a team of people, pull a team of people together, like a financial counselor, maybe close friends or family that are, you know, kind of get it. And they're safe people. They're people you can trust. You don't want to be talking about your finances with just anybody in your life. So these have to be really trusted individuals. and have those people. They can even be the same team of people, and that way the husband and the wife on at different times can talk to them, because then it really helps to have that support, because they can bring in a different voice. And I mean,
right.
When you're trying to say something to your spouse, it can come off almost parental, as opposed to having another person could say it and it sound totally different.
Exactly.
And so having a team of people, so that's a really big one. And then the other one is structure. So like Aljon, I was saying, have that budget meeting. My husband and I have a budget meeting every Saturday morning. So when we leave here today, we're
going to have your meeting.
Yeah,
right.
And it just really helps keep you on the same page.
Absolutely.
There's no surprises coming
right.
in, and that's really important. And one of the things that psychologists talk about, like with trauma, the two things that get people well is when you have a relationship and you have it structured. So you want to have support and you want to have it structured. When I was working with Dr. Henry Cloud, who wrote the Boundary series, we went up to New York after 9/11, and he did tons of talk, and that's what they talked about in trauma. Just make sure you've got someone you're meeting with weekly that they can so that you're not carrying that alone. And you know in your mind, oh, yeah, Saturday morning I'm going to have coffee with Sally or with, you know, Jane or John, whoever. And it just gives you kind of those neural pathways to go, okay, I have a place to go with this, and I
exactly.
don't have to keep it inside.
Right.
Yeah.
You have a comfort zone.
Yeah.
In a way, if you will. So if it gets a little too much, you know, take a deep breath, but at the same time, know that you've got your partner right there to help you through, and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. And having people outside your partner helps, because one of the biggest mistakes people made is they end up blaming the person they're with. Like, well, if you would have just done this, mm-hmm. and if you would have, you know, and blaming is just going to destroy the relationship. And that's when you just need to back off and say, you know, that there's no way that this is going to help. At some point, if the person did make a mistake, they already know it.
Yeah.
You know, and just pounding them on it is really, really not going to help.
Not going to help at all. 336-680-9710. I want to welcome those of you just joining us. We're in the midst of Saturday's edition of Community Focus. I want to thank members of our Community Focus family joining me, Renee Vaughn, on the program. I have relationship coach Lily Nye Cashin with me. I also have Aljanon Cash with me as well. We're talking about relationships in a down economy. And if you have questions or comments, we would love to get your input. So definitely feel free at any time to give us a call here in the studio. Let's continue. Lily, let me ask you this. Speaking of men and women, how do they react differently when it comes to financial stress? And I'm pretty sure there are different opinions from both sexes.
Sure. I hate to be kind of typical, but really, typically, I think men tend to carry it, because a large amount of men find their significance in what they do professionally.
Right.
And so if there's been a job loss for a man, not that it's not going to hit a woman, it's just going to hit her differently.
Mm-hmm.
For a man, he's carrying that stress of providing for his family. You know, and even though most households have two incomes these days, I think just how we're wired,
right,
it's that whole, you know, I've got to provide. And then for a woman, you know, like in the book, his needs, her needs, one of the top five needs for a woman is security. And so when financial problems are hitting and the thought of losing your house, I mean, if you think about a woman, that's kind of the nesting place. And when you've got children and mm-hmm. you're thinking it about mm-hmm. it, and you're feeling it at like all kinds of levels. And so the man's feeling it at different places, deeply, both of them very deeply, but just in different places.
Right. What's your take on that, Aljanon?
I would agree. But, you know, a lot of times I think some of the emotional responses that we have to, you know, whether it be the economy or our individual personal financial situation,
right.
a lot of that can be mitigated if you're really trained on the technical side of finance. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people do get fearful, because you get fearful of the unknown. You don't really know how to manage yourself out of this situation, or you may not understand, you know, you've worked yourself into a debt type situation. You don't really know how to get out of it.
Right.
A lot of times that fear can be mitigated just by making sure you're educated, mm-hmm. making sure you're aware, and making sure you're informed. So, you know, that's what I tell a lot of my clients. I mean, just make sure that you're educating yourself on what's going on around you.
Absolutely. Two very good points. Appreciate it from both of you. We're going to take a quick break this morning, and then we're going to come back and talk more about relationships in a down economy. Again, the studio number is 336-680-9710. I want to thank Aljanon Cash. I want to thank Lily Nye Cashin, and I want to thank you for joining us here on Community Focus. We have much more coming up, Saturday's edition. We'll continue here on the best R&B and old school. We are 97.1 QMG. 97.1 QMG, the best R&B and old school, and close to our communities. We're back from break with more of Saturday's edition of Community Focus. I'm Renee Vaughn, and want to thank you for tuning in. If you do have any questions or comments for our QF family this morning. You can reach us here in the studio. 336-680-9710 is the number. Again, I want to thank relationship coach Lily Nye Cashin and Algernon Cash, who is with me as well. Again, many of you know Algernon, the managing director of Warden Gladden & Company, LLC. Our topic of discussion for those of you who may just be tuning into the program this morning, we are discussing relationships in a down economy. That's why I'm glad I have Lily with me to cover that. And we will also integrate Algernon that if anyone has any financial questions or concerns, that's why I have you here as well.
Yes,
they
please.
They could reach out to you.
Please
also
give us a call. We would love to help you out with your finances this
Absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely. And we definitely want to address this question that I have for you, Lily. How do you know if you are depressed and you need professional help?
That's a great question. And really, if you find yourself that you've had like prolonged sadness, irritability, mm-hmm. feelings of worthlessness and guilt for no reason, hopelessness. And a big one is if you feel like the things that you used to have pleasure in, you just don't have pleasure in them anymore. Right. Like if you used to love to play golf, and then the thought of playing golf is like, nah, I don't really feel like doing that. And right. just everything seems gray mm-hmm. is a big one. Some people have sudden change in their weight, like even gaining weight or losing weight, or a disruption in their sleep pattern. Either you're sleeping way too much or you're waking up in the middle of the night. So if you have like really the DSM, which is kind of the diagnostic side of it, if you have five or more of those, then you could be dealing with, you know, some kind of severe depression. You definitely want to seek professional help.
Right. Let's make mention, you actually have a website, integratedrelationships.com. Talk a little bit about the website and once people go to it, what they can find to get some additional help other than what we're offering this morning on Community Focus.
Sure. On my website, basically, it talks a lot about what I do with the one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. So I do help people. I do help couples.
Yeah.
So this is a great time for that. I do a lot. I do groups, which, you know, I talked earlier about making sure that you have support. So one of the things I do is I facilitate small groups. And then people come together and they can actually get support from one another on a weekly basis. And then also I do speaking, and so there's information on speaking on that. So, and then there are links to websites that have resources on there that people can find as well.
Great. So can they also find out when you're going to have like the next session where you'll get together to have those group conversations? Can they find that?
Yes,
as far as the date and times?
Yeah, there's a tab on there that you can click on for small groups, and it talks about that, how to get in contact with me about my next group.
Fantastic. 336-680-9710. Lillian Algernon, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, and thank you for calling in to Community Focus. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Hey, I was just listening to, I'm sorry, I don't know her name. I didn't catch her name.
Her name is Lily.
Ms. Lily, my wife keeps telling me every day, she says, you know, you're depressed. You know, I'm having some financial problems. You know, I mean, I'm paying my mortgage, but I'm, you know, failing to pay some other bills. But, you know, the whole sleep thing, and I am noticing I am sleeping a lot more than I used to. You know, I'm not getting up doing too much of anything. I mean, I keep saying I'm going to go out and volunteer or do something like that, and I don't seem to be able to get up out of bed. And I was just wondering, you know, when you said that about the sleep thing, you know, my wife, like I said, she keeps saying I'm depressed, but I don't feel like I'm depressed, you know?
Okay, what are some of the other symptoms that she sees in your life beside the sleep disruption where you said you're sleeping more or less?
I'm sleeping more.
More, okay.
Sleeping more, and I don't know, I guess I'm, you know, I guess being home, I guess, you know, I guess I feel a little bit more angry, and I don't know. You know, I might, you know, take a little bit more out on the kids than usual.
Did you just lose your job?
I lost my job in January.
Okay, got it.
Well, and also this could be situational. I mean, we definitely have, there's a situational depression, so it may not be that you're necessarily dealing with long-term clinical depression, but, I mean, to lose your job and to have that pressure, it would definitely, you know, sounds like it could, you could have a seasonal depression, you know, dealing with the crisis that you're dealing with right now. Do you guys have some outside support? Or are you doing things like, you know, getting advice from people, looking for a financial counselor to help you deal with, you know, dealing with, I guess you've got just kind of one income right now. Is your wife working?
Well, my wife is working. She actually, you know, has two jobs, but they're like two part-time jobs.
Okay.
And I have a little part-time job also, which I'm at right now.
Okay.
But you know, I'm looking, you know, constantly looking and, you know, interviewing and it just don't seem like nothing's going right for us right now. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can hear some of that stress in your voice. I think it'd be really great for you to. Do you have any friends that, you know, understand kind of what you're going through right now that would be willing to, you know, meet with you, just, you know, meet for coffee or just to come over, you know, like every Saturday morning, someone that you can just unload on that could understand what you're going through and really validate the feelings, because that's one of the biggest things that'll help you in depression is getting that. And then also on a practical side, doing like what Algernon talked about is just, you know, reaching out and making sure you have someone who can help you have a plan, a financial plan, so that you can get more understanding, really just kind of look at where you are with whatever debt you have and whatever you're facing with your mortgage, et cetera.
That's what I was going to ask, Lily. Do you have a plan in place? I mean, now that you've lost the job, you know, what's your plan to get financially stable, or have you thought about that?
I mean, yes, we have thought about it. You know, I mean, I noticed, you know, a lot of the mistakes that we've made in the past, you know, we were big-time vacationers. You know, when I was getting, you know, several thousands of dollars back from taxes, we'd go, you know, we'd take these big vacations.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, you know, blow it all, you know. I mean, we'll make sure our bills got paid before we left and make sure we had a little bit of money coming back.
Yeah.
But we were, you know, like I said, you know, I was getting, you know, $10,000 back from taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll take, you know, seven of that and blow it on vacation. Instead of, you know, I guess taking it and actually, you know, as I look at it now, I could have been paying off, you know, that whole credit card with it, or,
yeah,
you know, and doing, or paying my house down, or, you know,
yeah,
or whatever.
Well, what I would tell you is you don't want to necessarily get caught looking in the rear view. You know, all those things have already occurred, and there's not going to be much that you can do about it. That money's already gone. You've spent it. I think the best thing that you can do at this point in your life is you can try to learn from those experiences. You can try to learn from those choices and decisions that you've made. Right now, what's happened, you've had an event in your life, and you've reached an uncomfortable part of your life, and you're sort of outside your comfort zone. But I'll sort of assure you that's where change really starts to occur, is when you've gotten outside your comfort zone. So now that you've saw this sort of happen in your life, I think this is an opportunity for you and your wife to say, okay, well, you know, we are going to better educate ourselves about our finances, and we are going to sit down and come up with a plan, and we are going to tighten up on the budget, and we are going to work these debts down, and we are going to build up an emergency fund for ourselves, and then we are going to start saving for retirement and saving for the future. Things will get better, but you guys have to make sure you sit down, and it has to get better within the context of a plan with real specific goals and actionable steps.
Right, okay.
Yeah, do you actually feel like you're a team with your wife, too? Do you feel like you're on the same page?
That's hard. Not all the time, though.
Okay. And that's where it helps to maybe have somebody from the outside, like, you know, just a friend that's kind of up on where y'all are financially, so that both of you feel like you have a voice and one of you doesn't get shut down. Because when you said, you know, she keeps telling you that you're depressed, how does it feel when she tells you that?
I mean, I don't feel like I'm depressed. I feel like, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't feel like I'm depressed. I just got a little stress on my back, that's all.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I would just encourage you to get some emotional help with that, just as far as just from, sounds like you can, you know, get by just having some close friends and some people that you can just get some emotional support from, and then do what Algernon said as far as getting a plan. And then making sure your wife and you probably had like a scheduled meeting would really help y'all get on the same page, where you can talk about things and really work on hearing one another and not invalidating each other.
Let me ask you this question. How is your wife dealing with this? Does she express to you how she's feeling, like you're expressing to us?
Well, every so often, she says, you know, why are you looking for a job? Then next time she'll be like, well, you know, or something goes on, you know, like, you know, doing something around the house. And she said, well, you work, don't worry about it, you know. And I'll be like, okay, what's going on with that, you know? Like I said, you know, it's just her little mood swings every so often, you know. You work, then why aren't you looking for a job? You know, it's just, you know, back and forth every so often.
And that might be another key thing, too, Lily, is that they actually sit down and express to one another how they're really feeling about this situation and how it is affecting the relationship.
Absolutely. And one of the best things you can do there, I don't know if you've heard of Stephen Covey's, like, seek first to understand. And I also teach a reflective listening class, which is really key because, again, you're talking about two people with different temperaments. You're
right.
talking about a man and a woman, how this stuff hits separately, you know, differently. I think it's really key that you hear one another. And basically, when reflective listening kind of boiled down is basically the content of what someone's saying plus the feeling equals the meaning of what they're saying. So if you sit down to talk and you hear that kind of agitated voice, instead of, you know, look at them and say, it sounds like you're really angry right now. And instead of doing a lot of questions, because questions become about us, really reflective listening is about the other person. So all you're doing is describing, okay, so you seem really afraid about what we're dealing with right now. And then repeat back what it is, the content of what they
right.
said. And then they feel heard, and then they feel loved. And you can, and then all their defenses come down, and they can hear you, and you can communicate better about kind of the numbers and all
exactly.
that kind of stuff. So.
Right.
Carla, do you live in Greensboro?
No, I live in Kernersville.
You live in Kernersville. Okay, you're not too far away. This upcoming Tuesday, you and your wife definitely want to invite you guys down to the Nussbaum Center. I'm hosting a free session on how to get control of your money, Keys to Money Mastery. If you and your wife are free on Tuesday evening at 5:30, we'd love for you to come down to the Nussbaum Center and sit in on the session, and hopefully you guys will start to pick up some skills that you can use to turn yourself around in the current situation that you're in.
And in addition to that, Algernon, you and I have had discussions on the 9 ways to get financially healthy.
We have.
09. And, sir, we actually have that conversation during the Tom Joyner Morning Show from 6 to 10, Monday through Friday. So listen down for those tips as well. We're gonna help you through this.
Just,
you're not alone.
keep listening, and like I said, always feel free to email me if you got a question. If you and your wife are working through some budget problems, or if you're looking at your debt picture and you're wondering what to do, you can email me at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net. And if you'll email me, I'll send you a copy of the invitation for this upcoming Tuesday. And I do hope you and your wife will decide to come out and join us.
All right.
I do appreciate you guys.
Well,
all right,
appreciate
no problem.
You. And if you just need a friend to talk to, you and your wife, just call me here in the studio. I'll be here for you, too.
All right. Well, you know, I want to also say, you know, Joseph Lovell is a big inspiration,
good.
Too, you know.
So he is.
You know,
yes,
we always keep God in our lives. And,
absolutely.
We're going to keep going that way.
That's right.
You know, you got a family here on this radio station.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All
Thank
right.
you for listening.
We appreciate you.
Have a wonderful day.
You the
you
same.
Too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think this will be a good stopping point because when we get back from break, Lily, want to kind of switch gears a little bit. We've been talking about relationships in terms of marriage with husband and wife, but I want to address those who are in a relationship in this down economy who are on the dating side of things. That probably gets approached a little bit differently compared
definitely.
To...
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. So we definitely want to invite those of you who are tuning in. We still have a few more minutes to take some calls, 336-680-9710. Lily Nye Cashin, Algernon Cash. I like that.
We're not
way.
Related.
I'm not related. Okay. I was saying, Nye, that kind of works.
Yeah.
You know, kind of works his way into there. Renee Vaughn, no Cash in my name, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, hey, just glad to be here nonetheless and glad to have you guys with us here on Saturday's edition of Community Focus. It continues on the best R&B and old school. We are 97.1 QMG.
Afraid of having a coughing attack? Would you just
97.1 QMG, the best R&B and old school. Saturday's edition of Community Focus, 336-680-9710. That's our studio number. Again, our topic of discussion, relationships in a down economy, and I've got an expert on the subject. She's a relationship coach, Lily Nye Cashin. And Lily, you're not too far from the QMG studios. You actually currently reside in High Point, so you're kind of right down the road.
I do.
Yeah. You like the area? You say you've been here about 5 years, right?
Yes, I love North Carolina.
Right.
It's a great place. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, good
to
have you here.
Thank you.
You're wonderful. And good to have Algernon Cash, Managing Director of Warden Glatton & Company, LLC. I got two of the best in the biz.
I'm no expert on relationships.
But
just,
you're an expert on
just
finance.
Money, yeah.
On money, that's right.
Yeah, just
so
money.
Either question that we're talking about or either subject matter that we're addressing this morning, if you have a question, certainly call us here in the studio. Let me ask you this question. Lily, it's kind of twofold. Number one, how is the dating scene affected by the economy? And what are the biggest mistakes that daters make during these tough times?
Spending money.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's very
yeah.
true, actually.
Yeah.
I think loneliness is a big thing. Because if you're alone and you're, I mean, you might be on the dating scene, but if you're not with someone, that by definition means you're at home and you're maybe only going out, you know, a few times a week.
Right.
I think you can, you know, when you're feeling the stress financially, people are seeking comfort. And I think that that becomes some of the biggest mistakes you can make is either, like, you're dating for comfort. It's really not about finding the right person. So you're going to end up, you know, just to have someone to be with and end up with the wrong person. So I think the loneliness dating, comfort dating is another mm-hmm. thing that people talk about. And also just, you know, from, like Algernon said, spending money is a big one for people that are dating, or even, you know, abusing alcohol because you're out and you're just like, I just want to forget about this. And so not right. that can't happen in, with someone that's married, but they're not typically on the bar scene in the, you know, out on the nightlife. So right. you're not faced with it, you know, necessarily as much.
As much, yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things they talked about after 9/11 was, it's actually, psychologists call it trauma sex. So people end up, when you're feeling that kind of stress, you end up, you know, really compromising some of your values. And it's really not about relationship, and it becomes right. about, you know, just filling those needs. And so there's a lot of different ways you can go with that when you're single and looking.
Hmm. Wow.
How does that from the financial standpoint, other than spending money? Because would you think, and maybe it's just me, that old school way of thinking, Algernon, sometimes I always heard that maybe you kind of go in on things 50-50. Have somebody pay for the meal, maybe the other person take care of the tip.
Sure. Yeah, I don't, you know, I know back in the day that used to be true. yeah. I don't know if it's
I don't know
that way.
Still apply.
I don't know if it's that way any longer now. Yeah. definitely back in the day that used to be true. I mean, you would sort of split things up, or right. you know, maybe you would take care of the tip, or I do this or I do that. To me it seems like things have really changed nowadays, and that's what I was actually going to ask Lily mm-hmm. is you know, I mean, if you're on a date, how much money should you, I mean, should you have a boundary on how much money that you're going to spend?
Or, that's a good question.
Or, I mean, how does that work?
Absolutely. I think you always need to know your boundaries, not only relationally, but, you know, especially during these times financially, on what you can spend. And, you know, one of the greatest tests that I think when you're dating, I call it the swine test because the Bible says not to throw your pearls in front of swine. Is if say you're a guy and you're going out with a woman and you have your budget and you say, you know what, we can't do that play this week. Maybe we'll just go to the movie.
Yeah.
And so you have a boundary, and if you get a squeal out of that, then you might know you're dealing with somebody. You know, so saying no and letting someone know while you're dating, you know, this is my limit financially. I can't do that. And if they have a problem with that, then if you get into marriage, they're going to have a problem with the fact that you can't afford something then, too. So mm-hmm. you want someone to say, yeah, I understand. These are hard times. And, you know, let's be fun and do creative dates and not spend as much money. So.
Right.
But I think people end up, you know, a lot of times, and this is sort of where credit cards come in and can sort of be dangerous or toxic. People will overspend. If they just met someone, or if they're just dating someone for the right. first time, they will overspend mm-hmm. because they're spending in an attempt to impress
right.
or earn that relationship or whatever they call themselves doing, and they will spend on the credit card to do it, and then you've got to pay all that back. You've got to work all that debt back right. off. So
it's really a matter of finding alternative, but at the same time, fun ways to do things, because like you said, there's probably a lot of things creatively that you can do at home to save tons of money, as opposed to, you know, spending it out with yep. a night on the town, movie, dinner. But everything pretty much is basically expensive nowadays.
Absolutely.
It is.
And one yeah. of the things that I have noticed is I think all the different networks, I mean, you can go online. I mean, like on the morning shows, I watch the morning shows when I'm working out. You know, there's tons of stuff about how to be creative. So you right. can go on any of their websites, creative cooking. I mean, mm-hmm. they even talked about all of the, like, food magazines these days are talking about how to do it on a budget. I know Rachel Ray has, like, all these meals for $10 or less.
Right.
So everywhere you
look,
there's a way to do stuff creative inexpensively.
Absolutely.
What about people like me who don't cook? I mean, what do we do?
You find friends that cook.
And pay them to do it. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Get yourself invited over to a friend's house.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, never too late to learn, Algernon.
Yeah, it's never too late to learn.
That's right.
You're right.
Well, let me ask you this. What are some communication tools that could help during these stressful times?
Yeah, I think one of the ones we talked about earlier, which is just reflective listening and yeah. validation, are going to be really two of the top things. If you're dealing with someone that's got a lot of emotion, always address that emotion. I mean, literally, like this is like on an everyday basis, not just in relationships when you're dating or married. But if you have someone fly into your office and they're going off on their boss and like, can you believe blah, blah, blah? If you go, really? And like you jump right in there and you're mad, it's only going to escalate. But if you say, wow, you're really angry about what your boss just said, all of a sudden they're going to go, Yes, and all of a sudden, really, all the emotion is just going to kind of bleed out of it. Then you can talk to someone, really find out what it is they're saying. So don't feed into the emotion. It's called containment. So if someone comes to you and they're really afraid about what's going on, if you jump in and say, yeah, I'm afraid too. I'm worried about losing my house too. Well, both of you are going to be like two little kids running around going, ah, you know,
exactly.
One of
you
screams, the other one screams.
Yeah,
so containment is really a good thing. So even though you may not be feeling what they're feeling, I mean, to bring about containment, so you might really be afraid, but if the person's afraid, try to hold your fear back for somebody else and just say, you're feeling afraid, right? And you get them to go, yes. And then after you validated what it is they're feeling, then if you want to say, you know, what the real truth is, it's okay. But don't try to give someone truth and shut them down, because emotionally that just feels, it makes you feel really alone.
Absolutely.
And I like her comment about not asking a whole bunch of questions. I never really understood, but I mean, even like for me, that's something that will typically get at me. Like if I'm irritated or I'm frustrated mm-hmm. about something and I'm someone's asking me questions, for some reason, I just it bothers me. Now I know why, because she just explained it.
Yeah, so. It makes a lot of sense. I think we kind of touched on this with our last caller, Lily, in terms of what's the best way to encourage your significant other when finances are tight and there has been a job loss, as was the case with our last caller and that gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because one of the things I know that he mentioned was her, you know, kind of, she sounds like she was kind of flipping, but the days when you say, you know, you need to go get a job. Well, number one, I as a relationship coach always tell people, never say you need. I mean, even if you're parenting your kids, saying
right.
You need to put your shoes on. Well, a kid doesn't have a need to put his shoes on. You have
That's
the
right.
need. So talk in terms of I need. So if you're having a problem and you think that, you know, your husband or your wife needs to do something differently, it's really about your need. I have a need to know that you are searching, you know, for a job and doing what you can. Because once you say that, you realize you already know that person's doing it. I mean, mm-hmm. yes, sometimes you're dealing with somebody that might have character issues and they really aren't. Or maybe they're sincerely depressed. And if you're seeing some of the symptoms that I mentioned earlier,
right.
you may want to encourage them to get help if they're really depressed. Because if they are depressed, they're not going to feel like getting out of bed. They're not going to feel like, doing the job search. And so you've got to get resources to help you in that area. But the biggest thing is just to give respect.
Absolutely.
You know, respect them and love them where they're at, because they already know. We have like the biggest judge in our head. I mean, we were born into this world kind of under the law, what the Bible talks about. And so we already feel the need to do more.
Yeah.
And so telling someone that they just need to do more is really not going to be helpful.
Are we sometimes our own worst critics?
Oh, absolutely.
On things.
Yeah. I mean, our conscience is already fallen, so it's
right.
already going to be attacking. So most of the time, we really need to get love to really metabolize all the big critic that's inside of our head.
Yeah. Now, with relationships, when we have children involved, how important is it to sit them down and explain the situation? Because you may have children who probably already have an idea that there's something not quite right with the family economy, so to speak.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I think with younger kids, you really want to keep that away from. There's really not a reason for small children to know that you're having financial issues, because they really can't help. Now, if the kids are older,
right?
I think, you know, junior high and high school, you let them know, but you don't bring out the emotions you're going to bring out with your spouse or with other adults.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of take the emotions out of it, and you sit down and you say, you know, this is where we are. You know, so and so lost their job, and so we've sat down and done a budget, and you really have to do kind of the containment thing with
That's
the kids,
right.
yeah.
Because the kids are going to feel like they're going to take it on themselves. Kids naturally think, oh, well, I need to do something, and even though they may not be able to do something emotionally, they're going to feel like
yeah.
they need to. So take the responsibility off them. You're not responsible for this.
Right.
You know, we are responsible as your parents mm-hmm. to do this. We're just letting you know that we're going to be cutting back. Maybe mm-hmm. you're not going to have as much money to hang out with your friends,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we want to encourage you to go out and do some jobs. I mean, cut some yards,
right.
you know, get some part-time work. If you really, if it means that much to you to have this extra money to spend on your iPod and your iTunes or whatever it is, then we want to encourage you to do that, but we're going to be scaling back.
Yeah.
But do it in a way that they don't feel like the world is like kind of shifting underneath them, because they still really need containment. And don't make it their responsibility. Yeah. Say it over and over and over again. This is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. We have resources. We have people that are helping us through this. This is not for you to worry about. We just want to inform you about it.
Right, and just let you know.
Yeah. I think that's really good. I mean, you want to use these times as a teaching tool.
Absolutely.
for your children. I mean, because your children need to learn sound financial management principles.
Right.
They need to understand why it's important to budget, why you need to stay away from debt, why it's important that you have an emergency fund saved up for these kind of purposes right now. And I mean, when you have a real scenario and a real experience, you really can use that as a teaching tool.
Absolutely.
I can still remember the day when I was young. And, you know, my mom told me that she said Santa Claus was not coming to visit us this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a tough conversation for my mom to have with me. But she had it, and it sort of taught me at the time that
right.
there were things that were a little bit more important than some of the material items, that we were blessed because we had something to eat. We were blessed because we had a place to live.
Right.
And, you know, those kind of lessons will stick with your children.
Absolutely.
So you do want to make sure that you don't try to paint this picture that everything is good and everything is great, and then you're out here using your credit cards mm-hmm. to buy the toys and the
right.
candy and the toys and all this stuff. You want to have a real heart-to-heart conversation
exactly.
with your children.
So but that as they get older.
But
they,
I agree with Lily.
Right.
I mean, you want to also help them to understand
that
this is still my responsibility, but you need to understand what's going on.
Exactly. And as they do get older, they will have a better understanding.
They will.
Hopefully of the situation.
Yeah. They definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, those lessons that I went through, I mean, I definitely didn't grow up with the proverbial, you know, silver spoon in my mouth.
Yeah.
But those lessons that I went through as a child, I mean, they've been with me till the day.
Absolutely.
And along with that, not only, Algernon had a great situation where he was able, I think, to learn, you know, to do the right things in those hard economic times. But also, a lot of us end up with how money was dealt with when we were kids, the emotions that kind of flew in the house, kids will take that in.
Right.
And that's really, really, really what's important, to shield your kids from the emotional, I mean, the fights and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
That's going to end up in them, and they get to be adults, and they're like, when the economy gets this way, they're going to be like shaken.
Right.
And like, why do I
and
have
And just automatically
anxiety?
Assume that's
yeah.
that's the way to react to things.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
and then they're transferring all that stuff from when they were a kid onto a situation that really may not be, you know, what's really happening.
Right. Absolutely.
But a lot of times we'll try to hide these things
right.
from our children.
Yeah.
Especially we do a lot of that around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Things may not be the best they should be in our own personal financial life, but we run out, we use up the credit card
mm-hmm.
to make sure we create sort of this false a sense of Christmas for our children, when we should not be working ourselves in debt
That's right.
to do those kind of things. Whether it's your kids or your friends or your family or whatever, you should never be working yourself into those kind of situations just to impress upon another person.
That's true.
I'm in total agreement. One of the things he said a couple different times is what's real. And I know that where it says the truth will set you free, it's actually reality. And those people who live in reality are the people that are free. And when you're running up the credit cards and trying to act like it's not that way, or letting your kids think that at Christmas, I mean, you make a great point. You know, I have friends that live on, I was a full-time missionary for years, and I have friends that live on, you know, very tight budgets, and their kids don't get a lot at Christmas, but they are the happiest
people,
most well-adjusted
yeah.
kids, because their kids, their parents love them, pour into them, give them time. And it's really about relationships.
And that's what's important first and foremost, is to put that love before the money.
That's right.
So to speak,
yeah.
if you want to look at it from
and
that perspective.
And to be grounded in reality.
Exactly.
I mean, because
right.
you can be happier when you're grounded in reality.
That's right.
I mean,
and that's one of the best learning tools that a parent can give a child.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. This has been a great show. Thank you both so much.
Already coming to a close.
I'm telling
huh?
you, that hour yeah. went by mighty fast. Well, Lily, let me be the first to say, here, at least on Community Focus, I know you have been heard before with Buster Brown on his show, but I officially want to invite you back. You're family now.
Oh,
so, you know,
you.
I always
That's
say,
awesome,
well, yeah, thank you. You're more than welcome. Usually when I have first-time people on the show, they start out as newbies.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the show, they're family. So welcome to the Community Focus family,
Very
Lily.
Good.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
Come back anytime. And thanks to all of you for listening. We appreciate your calls this morning. Algernon, I always appreciate you.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate you as well, and definitely appreciate you for creating the platform by which for us to get
Absolutely.
Some of this information out
That's
into
right.
the community. I do want to remind people once again, on Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, at the Nussbaum Center in Greensboro. We'll be doing a free session on Keys to Money Mastery. Myself, I'll be there along with Brent Solomon, who's going to be hosting the class. Mary Gutierrez, who you've often heard on,
yes,
on the Community Focus show, she'll be there as well,
right,
along with Sherry Brown, who was on Community Focus last year.
Right.
So we're going to have a an all-star cast.
There you go.
And,
absolutely.
It's absolutely free of charge, and it's open to the community. And I would encourage you to email me at cashmoney97@bellsouth.net if you can make it on Tuesday. And I also have a website and would encourage you to go there and
that's
listen
right
to some of the past episodes of Community Focus at algernoncash.com.
That's right. And for anyone who has any additional questions about our topic, relationships in a down economy, you certainly can visit integratedrelationships.com and learn lots more about this great relationship coach, Lily Nycash. And thank you, Lily.
Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome. Thank you, Algernon.
Yes, thank you.
And thank all of you. Have a great weekend. I think we're going to get a little bit of sunshine tomorrow. That's what I'm hearing.
I hope so.
Though we need the rain, yeah, it'll be nice to get that sunshine as well. Well, folks, whatever your weekend plans are, be safe, enjoy. Coming up, speaking of the weekend, it's the remix of entertainment news, old school and new school. It's right back at you, the best of the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and all weekend long, enjoy the best R&B. And old school, we are 97.1 QMG. I haven't done this before, but usually, guys, when I sign off, I like to give like little bits of encouragement to our listeners.
Yeah.
And so let us leave it with this. There are no bad days. Some days are just better than others.
That's right.
Something
that's
to
right
think about.
There you go.
Have a great weekend, folks. 97.1 QMG.